Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're going to find out a lot more about Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears in just a couple days when they face the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. These desperate 0-2 teams, Pearl, these are the ones I'm really keeping an eye on in week three of the NFL season. And we get the Bears coming off of a collapse in week one where they allowed J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings to come back on them. Then week two against Ben Johnson, the new head coach of the Bears, against his former team, the Lions, it was an absolute shellacking. Just one of the biggest blowouts we've seen so far this year. So now Ben Johnson calling out his own team's practice habits publicly in the media. He did it on Monday, again yesterday, which is what caught our ear. And, you know, he's really putting it on this game and the players to show something different here, Pearl. Yep. And I'm curious to get your take on a few things. A, do you think this is a smart idea for Ben Johnson to keep doing this through the media, which is goes back to training camp, where he was very honest about how disappointed he was and how some of the practices looked? And then B, what happens if the team doesn't respond? Dallas's offense is pretty good. Their defense, not so much. But the offense is good. What if they end up in a shootout or whatever, and this feels like Ben Johnson's message falls flat?
Well, you know, this thing about him calling him out in public, is there any evidence? What's the difference? Is it a bad thing or a good thing? Clearly, if you watch the Bears play, guys need to be called out. That is totally obvious. And let's face it, he inherited a roster of mediocre players. There's just no doubt. This is all, if you want to look at the problem here, it's the GM. Who is he? Ryan Poles has made draft mistake after draft mistake after draft mistake. Hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler yet.
Yep.
This year alone, I don't think people are talking about. He drafted Colson Loveland when he had a perfectly good tight end in Cole Kmet, and he's not even throwing the ball to Colson Loveland.
Or like, how about Ty
number
Warren?
Number 10 overall.
I mean, and Warren from Penn State, who ends up going to the Colts, who looks amazing.
But who cares about it? He wouldn't have thrown to him either because he's got Cole Kmet. He doesn't need a tight end.
No, you need two tight ends now, Pearl. That's what everyone's doing, the 12 personnel.
He needs a left tackle or a right tackle. And the thing is that unfortunately Ryan Poles has not made good decisions on the offensive line. The O-line is terrible. I look back at this. I even want to go further than this year. Like, did I think Ben Johnson inherited a dud. He got a lemon of a roster.
Wow.
Now, is that on him because he had other choices this offseason? But I looked at the other choices. They're not great either. Like, I understand why he took Chicago. You see, the other choice, big choice was the Raiders. That roster is a disaster, too. So you have two bad rosters. Do you want Caleb Williams or do you want nothing at quarterback? So he said, I'm going to take Caleb Williams. Now, you've rightly pointed out, Caleb Williams might be a terrible fit for a Ben Johnson offense. But I think that he got there. He's like, these people are not as intense as the players I had in Detroit. And he's furious about it. And he's going to call them out. I mean, yeah, obviously, he's talking to the young players who he's not even really using. I think he's right to have his hair on fire and go in that building and just scream at everybody. This is NFL football. You got to be super intense to win games.
Well, before we hear from Ben Johnson, I'll ask you the question. Is this quarterback the right guy to be delivering that message to this locker room? right? Like Caleb Williams, and I'm not saying it has to be all the front-facing rah-rah stuff. We're going to talk in this show throughout the day a lot about Joe Montana, the 1984 San Francisco 49ers, because of our King of the Mountain project. And Joe Montana wasn't the guy who was out there being super fiery and getting guys' faces. Or you can lead in a lot of different ways. But as far as holding people accountable, which is what Ben Johnson's trying to do, and we'll play the sound, I don't know if Caleb Williams is the guy who feels like he can stand up in front of the locker room or pull guys aside because, quite frankly, he's in year two. So what has he done?
He's 23.
Yeah, he's a young guy. Okay, so here's Ben Johnson from yesterday. This was right after the opening remarks where he basically just kind of blows some smoke at the Cowboys, talks about how good they are, what a challenge it's going to be to play them. And this was the first thing he said when talking about his own team.
Yeah, there were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you gotta be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case.
Yeah, 52-21 was the final score. So I think we kind of got that. But Pearl, that's a nice way of kind of implying that guys were quitting on plays.
You think?
Yeah,
they just let up 52 points. I think that's not a stretch to say that.
Here's more from Ben Johnson responding to a question about practice habits, and he said they have to practice better.
Are there guys that need to practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
Okay, so you know, this was yesterday. By the way, this all started Monday. This really started in training camp. Ben Johnson is very honest about his team. Let's hear a little from Monday just to get the full scope of kind of what the team is setting up for themselves as they host the Cowboys this Sunday. Here's Ben Johnson from Monday saying there's going to be more competition in practice because the effort level was so bad against the Lions.
We're going to have a lot more competition. I've alluded to it before. Just what these guys look like when the ball's not in their hands, that's a big deal for us. And so there were some plays there yesterday that we weren't quite as pleased with what that looked like on tape.
You know, it's funny. Of all the Bears' problems, Pearl, you know, and yeah. Jay-Z said I got 99 problems, but you know what? It's not one. I feel like the Bears had 99 problems, but effort I did not think was one.
They just let up 52 points.
No, I'm talking about when Ben Johnson inherited the team. You're talking about the flawed roster, and you're right. You know, they obviously, like, they've invested draft picks on the offensive line. We need to see more from that. You know, Caleb needs to throw the ball away. Like, they couldn't convert on a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1. You know, there's just, in the defense, obviously, dealing with injuries, and they got carved up on Sunday in week 2. But I never thought that effort really was a thing.
Going into
this season, where people saying, wow, that Bears team, they're just like a bunch of loafers who, you know, show absolutely no fight. But now that's something that is now, like, Ben Johnson has introduced that this team just does not care enough. I don't know how else you say
it. Well, I mean, okay, what do we know about the Bears? We know this gigantic expose in Ty Dunn's 27,000-word piece about.
But we got Seth Wickersham's book before that, remember, about how Caleb Williams wasn't even sure he wanted to go to Chicago.
But there's, in this Ty Dunn story, it painted a picture of an entitled Caleb Williams and a coaching staff that was afraid to confront him. I don't know. I sort of extrapolated, well, if this coaching staff is afraid to have conflict with Caleb Williams, then they're probably afraid to have conflict all over. They're probably not calling out guys.
Sure.
And they probably, if they're drafting Caleb Williams without really any plan, they probably drafted a bunch of other guys without any plan. I mean, the one character that they drafted this offseason was Luther Burden. A lot of teams reportedly in draft process, like, we don't want to touch this guy, and they drafted him. But I don't, yeah, I mean, they're a bad team. So I guess you could always assume a bad team has effort issues, right? I mean, why would you? I mean, Matt Eberflus was their coach last year. You think they were going all out for that dude? I did not see that.
Well, yeah, no. But I guess, like, I don't know. I've seen teams that are just don't have as much talent, but do they quit on plays and things like that? And then I ask you this question because it all goes back to Caleb. And, you know, I'm not trying to be reductive and make it so easy, but when you have an offensive coach who comes in, who's been, you know, so creative and innovative, you have somebody who has a talent like Caleb Williams, which is very different from a lot of Bears quarterbacks in the past, yeah, maybe outside of Jay Cutler or something like that, but very different kind of style. Maybe a little like Justin Fields, I guess, with the running ability and scrambling, but not exactly the same. Like different. Now, Justin Fields wasn't so much of an improviser, like the artist versus the surgeon type of stuff. But you have this guy, and really Ben Johnson's biggest task is making sure that Caleb Williams pans out. And so you're calling him out in public.
Yeah.
It's always been two things about the Caleb Williams story in Chicago. It's about how he plays, but it's also about, like, is this going to work with him? And I just don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be the guy to deliver this message, because what happens with the good teams? The coach delivers the message and the quarterback kind of has to live that message. What made Tom Brady and Bill Belichick so successful? Well, the winning, yeah, on the field, but also Belichick could rip into Tom Brady and he would take it like he was the third string, you know, backup safety.
Yeah.
And
that's what a pro should do.
And holding guys accountable. Yeah. And it's a lot to ask for a young guy, but I think some guys do it. I think you walk into the league and guys like Jaden Daniels do hold guys accountable, even if they're on the younger side in the locker room. I'm curious if Caleb is the guy to deliver this message. Hey, we got to practice better, harder, mm-hmm, calling dudes out, making sure everyone's on the same page.
But if you watch that game last Sunday, like, where is Caleb Williams on your list of problems for the Chicago Bears? I mean, it can't be top five to me. I mean, there's a lot of numbers. Their run game is not just bad, it's the worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
This is the number one running coach in the NFL last year, and they can't even get a yard. So that goes on the O-line. That goes on DeAndre Swift, who there's a reason he's been on five teams, the running back. Number one is the defense. They let up 52 points.
Yeah, I know.
So what are we talking about? And Caleb Williams was 14 for 19 for 136 yards and two touchdowns in the first half. There's no way that was a quarterback loss. That was a total team loss. And to me, that game came down to the end of the first half. It was a real game. It was 21-14 in the Bears. And then the Lions just scored that late touchdown. And you know how an end-of-half touchdown can kill you. You played against Tom Brady. That was his specialty. And the wind just got out of their sails. Here's my question. Like, clearly there's problems all over this roster. What's wrong with Ben Johnson calling them out publicly? Like, the problems are there one way or the other. What does that affect? How does that affect things?
Here's why. Because you can call out the team publicly like he did twice this week. And I get it. You're 0-2. So, like, it's desperation time. Like, you're in DEFCON.
Right.
If you lay another egg.
Right.
It shows that the team is not responding to your message.
But they're 0-3. Like, that's the problem, not what Ben Johnson is saying.
No, I'm saying that it kind of is, though, like, in my opinion. Because if the team shows no effort, we don't know what's going to happen against Dallas. Is Dallas going to come in and, like, you know, hang 50 on Chicago? I have no idea. I don't think so. But, you know, if
they might.
They might. I don't know. But if, say, they go out and it's bad again.
Yeah.
Well, then Ben Johnson's message didn't land.
So? Yeah, they're 0-3. It's a disaster. Yeah, of course.
This was a team that had a preseason, their win total set at 8.5. This is not a 4-win team.
Right.
This was a team, and I think we're doing the revisionist history thing now, that they were a sexy playoff contender. There were expectations on this team. You go 0-2, all right, now the expectations should change. We see that, but let's not pretend like Ben Johnson took over a team, and it was supposed to be, all right, now it's the beginning of the rocket ship with him and Caleb Williams, and it's looked like anything but.
Yeah, but my point is, if they're 0-3, it doesn't matter what Ben Johnson says. We are all going to view that as a dumpster fire. No matter what, Ben Johnson, what's he going to come out there at 0-3 and say, I'm really pleased with the way this team is playing? That'd be even worse. I actually prefer this. This sort of reminds me, it's a little Bill Parcells-esque. Just like, I'd rather the guy be honest, be like, we stink.
Yeah.
You know, what's that famous line we've been throwing around? Like, what do you think of the team's execution? I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Johnson has every right to be mad at this team. If they go out 0-3 because of this expectation, we're all going to know things are rotten in Chicago. Like, you and I argue about this a lot. I think press conferences get a little bit overrated. Like, what's the difference if he calls them out or not? They're 0-3.
No, I'm just saying what the heat that it brings onto Caleb specifically.
Well, he's been saying nice things about Caleb, though.
Sure. Well, but the quarterback's going to wear everything, because he also said of Caleb this week, he's got to throw the ball away again.
Yeah.
He's saying it again and again and again. And so,
but he also said he saw a great improvement in week two.
You see, discord is what Right. And so
0-3 is the all the discord I need to see. And by the way, I think he's also probably pumping people like I could bench Caleb too. So what if he's like, wow. I love Caleb. And then he benches him in week 7. Then we'd be like, well, why were you kept on saying I love him? And by the way, he has said really nice things about Caleb Williams. He pointed out like a bunch of small things he did much better in week 2. He just said he's not really seeing things perfectly yet. And honestly, I thought Caleb Williams was pretty good in that week 2 game. And honestly, he should have won in week 1. I feel like the judgment on Caleb Williams is a little out of control. I've kind of thought that. I'm like, yeah, he's 2 games in with this coach who has this crazy complicated offense. Like, he's not been great, but he certainly hasn't been like the worst quarterback in the NFL.
No, but I think the stat lines can be a little deceiving. I mean, they were playing from behind for the entire second half of that Lions game.
Yeah, and they tried to run the ball still, and they can't get a yard.
And they were, I still think that he's showing the habits, and that's why I started off this show saying the Bears had 99 problems, but I didn't think effort was one. And that's the thing.
Amon-Ra St. Brown had a 60-yard catch on the first play of the game and ran right through. You didn't see low effort on that play?
No, I'm saying getting into the season. I didn't think that's what Ben Johnson was going to have to address, the fact that the team is loafing and quitting on plays.
Well,
and that's what
that
he's saying. Because here's the thing about Caleb, right? Like, yeah, we could say he's going to give you a couple wow throws. He's starting games now 10 for 10, 11 for 11, stuff like that. We get it. In the beginning of the game, he's good. And then what happens the rest of the game? You know, like, there is a next level part of this that maybe he'll get, but maybe he won't. I don't know. And then, you know, you and I, yeah, we do disagree on sort of what the quarterback's role is. I think the quarterback's role is everything. Everything. And forgive me for that, but I think the quarterback's role is everything. I think it's, you know, being the guy to extend the coach's message into the locker room. It is the guy to hold people accountable. It is the guy to understand and pick up the offense. It is the guy to understand what's going on with the defense. It is the guy who's got to stand up there and take all the slings and arrows. It is the guy who's got to go pat people on the back. Like, it's just a demanding position.
Let me ask you a question. Who won the Super Bowl?
The Eagles.
What was the relationship like with quarterback and wide receiver one?
Dicey.
It was not even dicey. They didn't speak for the last 16 games. They just won the Super Bowl. So where's all that leadership? Jalen Hurts doesn't say anything to anybody. He just won a Super Bowl.
It's because you have a cheat code. Because you're cheating.
Oh!
It's because you're cheating
with the
tush push.
The quarterback to the... Oh.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay, you win that round.
Yeah, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. There's also not the heat that was on Caleb Williams, that was on Jalen Hurts, that's on Caleb Williams. Jalen Hurts was not anointed as a generational talent. He wasn't number one overall pick. He wasn't a first round pick. He was somebody who had the benefit, I think, and, you know, play your hand, of walking into an amazing team.
Mm-hmm.
Great GM. You talked about Ryan Poles has never drafted a Pro Bowler. What's Howie Roseman done? Putting guys in the freaking Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And he did not come in with any expectations. He was like a sigh of relief after he got rid of Carson Wentz. It's a different thing.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes has ever said a single word to any defensive player on the Kansas City Chiefs?
All the time.
Get out of here. He's Pat Mahomes. Chris Jones is a leader of that defense, and Travis Kelce is probably the leader of that offense.
I don't think you can say that. 888-710-4.
I saw Kelce yelling at the whole team yesterday, including himself, in the last game. I don't know that. I think there are lots of different styles that can win. That's all I'm saying. Caleb Williams is 23. I agree with you. I do not think he's cut out for those roles, but I think they have bigger problems. Just get him to be a competent quarterback first, then get the leadership stuff.
There was the one other piece, like detail, that was in the Ty Dunn piece, our pal Ty, about Caleb Williams, one of the criticisms of him. And I thought about it when I'm looking at Ben Johnson criticizing his overall team this week and their effort levels and their practice levels and all of that stuff. And the one thing that Ty said people got wrong about Caleb's evaluation coming out of USC, there was an idea that Caleb Williams was caught on camera crying after a loss, where he ran over to his mom and he was crying, and people criticized him for that. And what Ty said in talking to, you know, dozens of people around the NFL, is what the public got wrong about that was that people in the NFL didn't care that he was crying. They don't care that he's emotional. They want to see him hate to lose. They want to see him. The fact that he went to his mom and not to his teammates was the real red flag. It's not the painted nails. It's not that. And it's not the crying. It's the you weren't with your teammates consoling. Instead, you went away from your teammates. And so I thought of that when I was listening to Ben Johnson.
That sounds like the quarterback who didn't have anybody invited to his birthday party in the movie Draft Day. I mean, that's great. It's a great narrative, but hey, what?
No, it's a terrible narrative for
Caleb. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, it's a great spin on things. But hey, if Caleb can actually get rid of the ball and throw it to the open guy 10 yards away against the Cowboys, then all those narratives go away.
But the difference of between the movie Draft Day, which you just alluded to about not getting invited to the birthday party or no one coming to the guy's birthday party, is they still took Caleb number one. In Draft Day, they pass on the guy because of that.
Yeah. It's a movie.
And so in real life, they still took him, but it doesn't mean that people weren't talking about
it. But real life is not a movie. Like, listen, all that would... If they had just beaten the Vikings, nobody would be talking about any of this. And they should have won that game. That's the ironic part. Like, they had that game. Dennis Allen's defense, I don't know what's going on there. That should be the first house on fire issue. They just let up 52 points, and they have all this money invested in this defense. Although they did lose Jalen Johnson. That's a bummer.
Yeah, the injuries were piling up a little bit. 888-710-4ISN. That falls on the head coach. 888-710-4476. I know he's an offensive guy, but you also are responsible for the defense, even with a veteran like Dennis Allen running the show. All right, so things are not going great in Chicago right now. I think that's an understatement. And for our Cowboys fans out there, are you now licking your chops a little bit looking at this Chicago Bears team? You got to go on the road, but are you thinking, all right, we can really, you know, take on this wounded animal. We can really put them out at 0-3. Not that it matters. They're not a division rival, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, Cowboys are probably worried about their defense too after last week.
888-710-4ISN. Let's go. Coming up next, we love checking in with one of our pals, Quincy Avery, quarterback guru. We're going to find out what's going on with Arch Manning, what's going on with Caleb Williams. We'll get it from the inside scoop. Quincy joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's funny? Of all the Bears' problems, Pearl, you know when Jay-Z said I got 99 problems, but you know what? It's not one.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. It's interesting. It's game day, and I don't see any tension over here on this side of the glass.
Oh, just wait.
Dolphins, Bills. Maggie Gray, if you don't listen to the show, she's the only person in the America, probably the world, who is nervous about the Dolphins coming to Buffalo. Literally the only person. Even Josh Allen is chill right now. How you can bend your mind to be nervous about this game is fascinating to me.
That's because I'm a real fan, and I remember lots of things.
Is that a dolphin?
That was from Key and Peele. That was one of the players from the East-West Bowl, and it sounded like a dolphin, so I grabbed it.
Thank you. It's like a jackhammer in my ear. All right, it's too early for that, Manny.
You know that big book they have? I think it's where they list all the mental illnesses. I think it's called the DSV or something. Anyway, being nervous about the Dolphins in week 3 coming to Buffalo should be a separate category and just a big picture of your face.
It's a Maggie Gray appendix at the end. Yeah.
If you can't relax coming to this game, then you can't relax coming to any game. All right, let's get some headlines, folks.
Oh, hey, I'm not used to you throwing it to me, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, jump in.
Headlines are sponsored. Never going to make this squad.
By Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Joe Burrow is obviously the better quarterback, but maybe Brock Purdy has tougher feet. The Niner QB back at practice yesterday on a limited basis and apparently has a chance to play this Sunday despite his toe injury, all while Burrow gets ready for surgery and that 3-month absence. Kyle Shanahan asked yesterday if Mac Jones playing well Sunday in New Orleans allows them to go slowly with Purdy.
Mainly just how he's feeling and how he thinks he can go, what he thinks he can do today, what he think he could do tomorrow, Friday, and Sunday. Really doesn't have anything to do with how Mac played, whether it was good or bad. Doesn't really affect that. I just talk about where Brock's at right now.
Niners, I'm sure to Brock it probably matters.
Yeah. The Niners have their home opener Sunday against the Cardinals. As for Burrow, Zach Taylor would not put a timetable on his return yesterday, but did say they're hopeful Burrow plays again this season, however long Burrow is out. It appears that Jake Browning will be QB1.
Goal is just to execute well, play fast, make fast decisions, and be decisive and try and help us win. And yeah, you know, whatever comes as a result of that or whatever, however everybody's feeling right now, you know, I'm pretty focused on just doing my job.
Not that you could forget, but it is Bengals, Vikings, Browning, Wentz this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that was made in a lab for Andrew Karloff. The only thing that would be better is if Andy Dalton was playing for the Panthers this week. That would be an awesome week 3 for you. You guys are friends.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton's a 4-time Pro Bowler. I think he's a little bit ahead of Jake Browning, but I expect Jake Browning to throw for 400 yards in this one.
400?
Well,
against Brian Flores is often.
Flores will get lit up sometimes, though. Like they have some like big games. I don't know. I just feel like Browning's going to throw 3 picks and 3 touchdowns in every game. He's just going to throw it up. He's like Eli Manning. He throws a very catchable ball. Mm. He just is often caught by the cornerback as well as the wide receiver.
Yeah. Another change atop the AL West last night.
Here's the 2-1 to Altuve. And he rips it. Palakaye. Left field and deep for Altuve, his 26th of the season.
That's Robert Ford on Astros radio, a tie-breaking 2-run homer from Altuve off of Jacob DeGrom. The Astros a 5-2 win for a 3-game sweep of Texas. And with the Mariners' 10-game winning streak ending in KC 7-5, Houston has a half-game lead atop the division. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks. We'll get back to you in just a little bit. But of course, our first guest is up early because that's how you do things when it comes to college and professional football. Quincy Avery, QBTakeover.com, quarterback coach, quarterback guru. We love turning to him when we have big quarterback questions. Yep. Quincy, thanks so much for the time. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Maggie. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I'm not doing better than Arch Manning, but like the fact that we could be in this conversation is not great for the Texas QB. So Quincy, let's start here. How come even people who are just casual fans sitting on their couch can watch Arch Manning through these first 3 games and say something doesn't look right? What do you see out of the Texas QB?
I see someone who does not look prepared to play position, both physically and mentally. So physically he makes wild throws, inaccurate. And then mentally, you would think that he would be a step ahead of the game. Like his eyes would be processing the game really fast. He'd be able to work the progression to be able to get them in the right place. We don't see that. The play that I go back to all the time is a 3rd down versus Ohio State, where he has a concept to the front side and then a shallow cross running right across his face. He sees it, but doesn't do the little things like get his feet aligned with his eyes so he can make a really easy 5-yard throw. He misses that throw high and behind, and now they get off the field, they lose the game. It's those little plays right there that encompass all the problems we're having, because it looks physically bad, mentally, wasn't prepared. And that play right there is the difference between them starting really good on the season and people feeling really confident that he's going to figure it out and where they are today.
Quincy, is it possible, like, you know, you play golf. You know how sometimes golfers get, I don't know, like something in their head where they just can't execute this way? The yips. Is it possible there's something going on? It's maybe not lack of preparation, but he's got a case of the yips where things are speeding up or he's just feeling too much pressure.
And if I said lack of preparation, that's on me. I just don't think he's prepared enough. Like, he may be doing everything you can be doing in the film room and it just not be processing for him. So I think he has a processing problem right now. It could be the yips, but the way that he's throwing the ball, it definitely looks unique. They're pretty staunch in the Texas locker room that he has an experience of injury. So if he has an experience of injury, I'm going to be honest. I just don't think Arch was ever that good, right? There was never any reason for people to talk about Arch in the way they talked about him. He was never supposed to be this guy who was a one-and-done prospect, started the year for one season, went on to the NFL. He has never done anything to show any of those things. So when people vault him up and start talking about this, the expectations have just gotten so high for him that it's unfair. He does not have the talent to meet the level of expectations that people put on him. So I think that we look at Arch like, yo, bro, what's the matter? And he's like, this is who I've always been. Why are you guys expecting anything else than the thing that I'm doing right now? And that's the situation that we've kind of fallen into.
Yeah, I just want to tell listeners, Quincy, you said this on the show before Arch even took a snap at Texas, that you said a lot of this has to do with his last name, not who he is as a recruit.
Yeah, so Quincy, we're talking with Quincy Avery, QBTakeover.com, and a quarterback coach. So if you were there with Arch Manning, like, what's the first thing you're going to do before they play Sam Houston State? So you think you get a nice little runway here before the SEC schedule starts?
We would really just have to go back through, watch the tape, talk about the little errors that he's making. Let's figure out why you feel the need to throw in the way that you're throwing. Because I went back and watched tape from last year. His throwing motion does look dramatically different. It's gotten a bit more sidearm. He doesn't close his front shoulder in the same way. And he kind of finds himself like slashing or getting really fast for the top end. So in terms of fundamentally, that's what we try and work on. And that's a, hey, son, we're just going to roll the balls out versus Sam Houston State. We were better than them when we were born, so we don't really have to worry about winning or losing this game. We're going to win. All I just need you to do is start reestablishing your confidence, right? And that's a big thing. It's like, how can we get him more confident?
Last one on Arch, Quincy, sorry, then we'll move on to Caleb Williams and some others. Would you bench Arch Manning? Do you think that would help if he can see the field from the sideline? Would that be a positive for him? You have to bench him for the season. You have to bench him for a whole game, but just even a couple series.
Arch has been seeing the season from the sideline for a long time. He's a junior. There's no more we sit down and I think that's going to help you out. If we sit you down, we're sitting you down. You're no longer the quarterback for us at the University of Texas. And I think that Sark is in a really hard, difficult position. And when I say that, you're coaching one of the most famous or prestigious last names in football. And the Mannings have a lot more power than I think people are aware of between the young quarterbacks who go to the camp, the influence that they have on them, the need for you to want your quarterback to go to their camp. I remember when C.J. Stroud decided that he was going to pass on the Manning Passing Academy, and the way that the oldest Manning, the way that he talked about him to teams and the way that they started to think about him just because of that. So it's a very powerful family. It's going to take a lot to be able to bench him and really feel confident about your decision. So I think they got to kind of roll with the punches for a little bit. They're in a real difficult situation.
All right, Quincy, let's turn to the NFL. What do you make of Caleb Williams' marriage with Ben Johnson through two games?
I think we talked about this before, but I said it was going to be a process. You're asking somebody to play so different than the way that they played football their whole life. If you watch Caleb at USC, Lincoln Riley ran an offense where he just schemed one guy open and Caleb would run around and wait till that guy got open, he'd throw it there. He didn't have to go through progressions and get under center and make real play calls. Caleb wanted to go to the NFL and have his cadence be down, set, hut. There are 32 NFL teams. Not one time has anybody done. That's just like immature. The level of football that we're trying to play is not commensurate with even that cadence. He was not prepared to play at the NFL from the neck up. Now, Ben Johnson is asking to play graduate-level football. We're not just playing, like, entry-level college courses. We're playing graduate-level football right now, and I think that it's just going to take him some time. He has all the skills, all the talent in the world to do these things. It's just about how do we get you comfortable enough where you can be able to be yourself but playing within the confines of the offense. I ask guys like that all the time. Hey, can you just do the simple things extraordinarily well, and then when you got to put your cape on, then go do that. But all the other times, let's just be really good at the simple.
Quincy Avery joining us, QBTakeover.com. We love talking with him. He's a quarterback coach and guru, and we have a lot of quarterback questions. And you could have given me 1,000 guesses, Quincy, about the next person I'm going to ask you about. I would have never guessed we'd be talking about Daniel Jones, Indiana Jones, after 2 weeks. Is this sustainable with what we're watching from Daniel Jones, who looks now, pro, like one of the next reclamation projects in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that he's in a really good system for him. So coming from the Daboll system, right, in comparison to things that he's doing now, Daboll, he came from the Patriots. It was very free-flowing. Like, hey, we're going to read this field left to right. You find it. Like, you feel really good about the things that we're doing. The offense that he's in now, Steichen, is so – it's the discipline that he needs. Because he did not have the creativity to play in an offense like that. He needs to be 1 to 2 to 3. And I've seen guys who have the ability to really excel in one offense and similar to that. But then when they go to a more structured West Coast style, hey, first progression here, second progression to the dig, third progression to the shallow, they just didn't have that ability. They needed to see things and feel things a different way. Now, will he be able to continue this? I just don't have a whole lot of faith in Daniel Jones as a player. Like, yes, he does look really good right now, but eventually, water finds its level, and he's not this good, but I don't think he's as bad as some of the things that we saw before. So I think we're gonna find it like somewhere in the middle, right? We're gonna find he's a starting quarterback. I think he's somewhere between the 16 to 22 range, right? I don't know where that gets you, but I think that he's gonna be a solid quarterback for a good little bit.
Quincy, I know a team you've worked with a lot and you've been around a lot, the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell seems like he has had a lot of success with different quarterbacks, but J.J. McCarthy really struggled in week two. Now he's out with an injury. What's your early take on J.J. McCarthy's first year starting?
I think physically J.J. has some things he needs to work on in terms of being able to layer the ball a little bit when he throws. There's some things thrown to the left, like physically he's not doing right now to put himself in position to be super successful that way. I think he's of immense talent. Him, like Caleb, though, he hasn't been put in positions to run an offense in this style. Yes, he's at Michigan. Michigan was all play action. We've been running the ball so much, we got a guy who's going to be open for a chunk play. I love the confidence in which J.J. McCarthy plays. I do think it's wild the way that people talk about him. It's a bit of revisionist history. If we think about him that first game, him coming off the sideline, him yelling at guys, letting guys know what he was going to do. Yes, they happened to win that game. But if they do those things in a loss, right, because I don't think he played great at any point in time in that game. He played solid in the fourth quarter. But if they lose that game, everybody would be killing him, talking about who does he think he is, first year starter doing these things. They just happened to win. So I'm interested to see what his career path looks like. I think that it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to figure out, okay, how do we figure out ways for us to get Justin Jefferson the football while J.J. McCarthy's our quarterback? So he learns the nuance between, hey, I got to get my number one receiver the football, and I have to play smart with the football. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I also want to put in a plug for the Quincy Avery Effect on Hulu, a documentary. It's awesome, by the way.
Great.
And you get to see footage of you balling at Morehouse just as a wide receiver. It's really, if you have a young football player in the house, I would recommend watching it. It's a really great documentary. And they made you look really muscular in the animated version of you. Were you happy with that?
Look, I think that you guys are really knocking how muscular I was back in those days. Yeah. I put on a little fluff, a little cushion. But I had some muscle.
You look like Batman in the cartoons. I tell you that. But they were so well done. I love that part of the documentary. It's really awesome. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
It is great. Quincy, before we let you get on out of here, and again, thank you. Getting up early, we know, is just part of the job here when you're working with quarterbacks, and you do it so well. Back to the college ranks for a moment. Dabo Swinney had to come out, kind of defend his entire Clemson history and record. They had some incredible quarterbacks. And now Cade Klubnik, who was really good last season, does not look the same. What's going on with the Clemson QB?
There is the most difficult year for a college quarterback, a top college quarterback, is the year after everybody talks about them being ready to go to the NFL. Mm. That is a year filled with pressure, a year filled with expectations, a summer filled with media appearances, trips to places that you had never expected, all those things. And I think that they're having a really difficult time. And it was interesting to hear Dabo talk about Cade after the first game. And he talked about him in a way I've never heard a head coach talk about a star quarterback. Just talked about he was missing reads, he was doing this wrong, he was doing that wrong. I wonder where his confidence is at. Mm. Because without confidence, you cannot play the quarterback position. That is your strongest muscle as a quarterback, is the ability to be confident when you walk the line of scrimmage. You have an idea of what you want to do with the football, and you can go up there and be confident making that. He doesn't have that right now. And got some unfortunate breaks. He throws an interception to a guy who's jumping up to bat a ball down. Like, they shouldn't lose that game to Georgia Tech, but they also need Cade to play at a higher level, and I hope that he gets it back. I think Cade right now is probably like a fifth-round quarterback, right? Fourth, fifth-round quarterback, and he's gone from someone who I had projected in the first round, and I really hope things change or turn for him because, for one, I think he's a fantastic kid, and two, I think he's a really good football player.
Quincy, thank you for doing this. Quincy Avery, check him out on social media, QBTakeover.com, and also the documentary is fantastic. So thank you, Quincy. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Caleb Williams, so let's do it. Come on board, 888-710-4ISN. Coach Ben Johnson calling out the whole team in press conferences twice this week after they got blown out to the Lions, and now they welcome Big Bad Dallas into Chicago this weekend. So we'll talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Megan Perloff Show. Thank you to Quincy Avery, who, if you missed our interview with the quarterback guru and coach from QBTakeover.com, did not hold back on Arch Manning and what's going on with the Texas quarterback. Says it's physical, it's mental, does not look prepared, and by the way, may not have been so great to begin with. This could be who he is.
That's the one that caught me. And you know what? It's not like he's saying that after three games. He was pretty clear coming into this whole process that he did not think Arch Manning merited all the attention he was getting. He didn't think he was a five-star level quarterback.
Now, if you're a Bear fan, I thought Quincy was a little bit, he was kind of like, hey, this is going to be a process.
Yeah, be patient.
Not writing anything off, but the fact is that Ben Johnson is asking Caleb Williams to play quarterback, as Quincy said, at a graduate level where he wanted to come in. This is Quincy's word, that Caleb thought he could come to the NFL and do a down, set, hike, ready, set, go, and that's not going to fly with Ben Johnson. It's going to be a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, I mean, you've actually been alluding to it all week. Ben Johnson seems like a coach who wants a quarterback to run a pretty complicated system, where Caleb Williams is famously a great backyard quarterback, what you call a backyard quarterback, because he can scramble and find guys down the field, keep plays alive with his legs. It's very clear with the way the pass rush was getting after him. First, we just get rid of the ball, dude.
That's what he said. You got to throw it away. Jason is in Washington, D.C. Jason, good morning. What do you think of Ben Johnson calling out his team after 2 weeks?
I love it. I actually love it as a Cowboy fan. I'm hoping he continues to do it at least this week. Take some of the focus off of them this week.
Yeah, right. You're right. It's weird when Dallas is not the main story when they're going into a game. Right. That's what the Bears are providing you.
Absolutely. No, I think a couple of things here real quick. I think if Ben Johnson came in, he was expecting Caleb Williams to be Jeff Goff. I think that was bad in his expectations. What I think Ben Johnson has to do is he has to treat Caleb like a rookie. He has to dumb this offense down. He has to only allow him to read half the field. He has to make it just simple as possible and stop asking him to do the things that he just can't do. It's not his strength right now. And then second of all, what he has to do with this whole entire team, he has to stop calling them out in the public. He's got to go behind closed doors and practices, call them out, and find the real leaders. I'll get off the phone and I'll listen.
Yeah. Jason, good points around. Now,
yeah,
listen,
I agree.
We're not behind the scenes, so we don't know if they have actually simplified things on the offense. You know, we're not in the Bears playbook, but at least from what we can, you know, people tell us and what the Ben Johnson himself kind of said is, I'm actually throwing everything at Caleb, and then he will catch up. So not dumbing anything down. He's got to catch up to where we are. And as far as calling people out, which is what Ben Johnson did twice this week, and they got blown out by the Lions, so this is the time to do it. But Pearl, this is where you set yourself up as a first-time head coach. There's going to be a moment where Ben Johnson makes a mistake. There probably already has been one.
Oh, yeah,
and maybe we just
don't
even.
There are a couple big mistakes in the Minnesota game.
Right.
I think he messed up a review, and there's been definitely a lot of procedural errors. They've had a lot of flags, which goes to the coaching.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you know, depending on what kind of locker room you have, and you got to make sure that guys are okay being coached this way. Mm-hmm. Because guys can say, well, coach, you messed this up. I mean, you just had a coach in Matt Eberflus who was very much, you know, a problem on the sideline.
I walk into that Bears locker room, I'm pulling a Deion. You 70, you're out of here. They clearly need a new roster. Like, I'm sorry, this is on Ryan Poles. They've been, based on what we know about how they approach the Caleb Williams draft process, they probably approach every other player that way. There's no accountability in that locker room based on the record. So Ben Johnson has a right to yell at everybody.
Let's go to Carl, who's in Chicago. Carl, you're a Bears fan. What do you think is the biggest issue facing your team?
Well, you know, first of all, it all starts off with the management and the family. I'm actually trying to organize a peaceful protest where we go out during our bye week to Hallis Hall and we demand the firing of Ryan Poles. Hopefully, if we can get the radios and national news involved, you'll see that happening in a couple weeks. After George Hallis died and his son died, the only people left to run the team and the family are people that are business people that don't know anything about football. Because Virginia married a businessman. And so when she has her son running it, he's admitted he doesn't know anything about football. He doesn't know how to evaluate any talent. Every time they've hired a team president, it's always been a trusted family that has nothing to do with football. Mm-hmm. And it's a domino effect that's been going on ever since Dick got fired and the 85 team was dismantled. And the ability to not be able to, when someone goes in to apply for a job and they're interviewing, no one can tell if they're lying or they're full of crap or not because they don't know what they're looking for. So then they hire all these GMs. If you look at the resume of like Ozzie Newsome and John Lynch, And then you look at Ryan Poles, who played like at Boston College, great powerhouse. And then he was a failure, a 1 year practice. Hold on, Carl, one second though.
So Ozzie Newsome, John Lynch, these guys are more the exception than the rule. You know, John Elway winning a Super Bowl with Denver as an executive. Sometimes the great players are not great executives, but it's a good point he makes, which is ultimately ownership is hiring in these huge positions if they, you know, are not good at it, which it looks like the Bears ownership is not. You got a problem.
He's dead on. But Ryan Poles did block for Matt Ryan in college, so that was a big deal.
Let's take that. And what was that, a peaceful protest in week five? Yeah. We'll keep our eye on that. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.